The when you say Shir Mizmor, so you start by telling the story, and then at last it becomes an emotional arousal. You get very excited and you start singing. Mizmor being the nigun that we understand. You're going from the kal to the kabet. You're starting with the details of the story, and you're getting more and more aroused. But we didn't understand what was Mizmor Shir. First, there's the zimra, this emotional arousal, and then there's what happens? How does that work? So he said like this. The mile of Mizmor, that it comes from a deep emotional place with enormous arousal, enormous hispailus, a wonderment. And you see something and it's like, wow. Get this like enormous emotional connection to the event. And this is well known. We've all experienced this. We know this. When you have that emotional arousal because of something wow that happened, there's a danger here. Because you're so wowed and up in the clouds and so emotionally aroused, you can't bring it down. So it stays where it is. It'll stay where it is in the heart as a as an emotional arousal that never ever comes into the world of Maisa. You have a temporary arousal of emotions and excitement and happiness, and then you go back to what you were before. Elul is a perfect example. Rosh Hashanah of the days we busy with an normal example of that. Awesome, wonderful, exciting, wonderful days, and at the end there's nothing left. Like a guy who goes to the, we mentioned, guy goes to the, Pinkus always used to bring this model. A guy goes to the Yerid, he goes to the fair, he goes to the Basel fair. Well, I don't know if you've ever been there. The Basel fairs, there's a ganze, wow, there's a big, big Zach. And he goes there and he has exciting and it's wonderful and he sees everything and he's spoiled by all the products and he comes up, he didn't buy anything. So what's left? The photos. That's what's left. The Gewaltige Tam, so Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, these awesome days that we have can be like that as well. If you don't do something, Lamaisa, you don't translate into Maisa, you're left with Mizmor. But it has to translate itself into some kind of a Maisa. And that's the danger of Mizmor. It's not connected to Shir. After the Zimra, you need the Shir. You need to translate that. Then you have to take what happened, you have to bring it down, you have to put it into words. As ha soga, nitfeset. What you, if you put it into details, you break it down, you look at the details, then you grasp what happened. Then you'll have a kinyan, you'll walk away with something. The Bali Musa always say if a person has a miracle, something happens, something big happens, whatever, there's enormous arousal. He's saying halal, he's saying all sorts of praises and whatever. You have to take on something lamaisa because of that. Something small. We used to tell when we used to tell the guys used to come on a 3-week program, they used to get blown away. No one came on those 3-week programs and didn't get wowed. Big, big wow. And they go back to America, to England, to everywhere they go back. And a week or two later, they've forgotten about Israel. They were never here. As what do you do with that? You have to tell the guys before they left, you said like a farewell thing. Everybody has to take on one small thing. Lamaisa, whatever you want. Whoever guy learns in our koilel, Eli, in your shir, when that happened to him, he took on to learn one Mishnah a day. One Mishnah a day, that was his farewell gift from Eishet Torah. Today's a Talmud Chochem, proper Talmud Chochem. But anyway, that one Mishnah a day came to learning Mishnah's Baal Peh until he's finished big chunks of Mishnah's Baal Peh. That's another story. Something small, take something small. So that's with us as well. There's a war, a person has a yeshua, medical yeshua, something. So we get very aroused and we're very excited for a few days. And then we know what happens. You have to translate it into something lamaisa. That's the transition from mizmor to shir. That's how it's described here. If it stays in mizmor, then that's what it is. You get very excited and we know it doesn't. The good times, I think Rav Tetz has an essay called Why Don't the Good Times Last? Because they're not meant to last. They're meant to be translated into a lemaisa. Okay, that's what we spoke about last week. Let's go on to Samach Zayin and start something, take this further. But the Derech Klal, his Laivas Atzuma, bo mi hasogas haklalim. It's a very important, there's a very, very fundamental sugya this, sugya of klal and prat. Details and the bigger picture, the generalities and the details. Hislaivus, getting excited about something, is usually because you grasp the klal, you see the big picture. Ubavoidus haboire tati bo in and likuva. Hasoga saklalim, vigit putosom the prate pratim. In avoidus Hashem, you need both. And one without the other doesn't work. You need the klalim, you need to grasp the klal, the big general principle. But then you need to see the details. You need to translate that into the details. You need to break it down into its components. The Ramchal in the Agdomet to Derech Hashem discusses it at length. In a nichnas Adam lebeit haKnesset, v'ayim Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad b'kavon atzuma. The guy says, Shema Yisrael, mamash, the sweat pouring down his spine. He said, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, mamash, grasping some deep kavonas. He's just been Mamlich Hashem on the seven firmaments of the world, the Shemaim, the Aretz, the Abaruchos. What does he need more than that? You just said Shema the way you're supposed to. You've been Mamlich Hashem in terms of the whole world. He's Mamlich holding there. So what more do you need? You just said Hashem is the king of everything. So why am I saying b'chol nafshecha b'chol debecha? That's part of the everything. Why do you have to go down and say that? Just say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. You mamlich Hashem over the entire universe, every molecule, every atom, everything is now, we know, is ruled by Hashem. So now what do you have to come and say? Yeah, and also this, and also this, and also this. You've done it. You divide this up into 248 parts. Why? You mekabled upon yourself. Everything's fixed. So now what do you have to go and spend the next 5 minutes saying the rest of Shema for? You did it. You've got it. So what do you have to add on for? When you say koine akol, what's missing from that? Koine akol includes everything. You don't understand. There's nothing in the world other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What more do you want? Give me everything. So, yeah, I'll give you everything. Yeah, I want this, this, this. I just said I'll give you everything. Well, do you have to tell me you want this and this and this? The kasha is a very powerful kasha. Sounds quite simple, but it's because we're just used to doing it. But if you think about it, once you've been mamlich Hashem on everything, what more do you need? It's not like that. You see a powerful, powerful yesodia. Let's take a seed of a fruit tree. You have to agree that in that seed is all the koyach, the potential of the tree that's going to grow eventually one day. It's all there. If it's not there, it wouldn't grow. Geza sharosh of anof of alof peros of peros peros of atzof koladoiros. In that seed is the potential for the trunk, the leaves, the branches, the fruit, the seeds in the fruit, more fruit. That's what's in the potential in that seed. It's all there. When you buy one seed, you buy a seed of a peach tree and you're going to plant it. You just bought, but that's an unbelievable investment. For $10, you just bought millions and millions of trees. Inside that seed is bordering on eternity, if you think about it. Yeah, I mean, you get it? You know what's going on inside a peach tree, a peach seed? Ulam, ko'ot shelo ha'itzi kochaysof shel agarin leprateyem. Karei lo yishar b'yado el agarin atzmo. You don't take that seed and extract from it the potential that's lurking in there, then it just stays a peach seed, which has very little value on its own. It's nothing. What's a peach seed? We throw them in the pach. There's a multi-billion dollar industry that you just threw in the pach. Why? Because you're not going to plant it. If you're not going to plant it, you know, what's there nothing to do with it? It's terrifying. You know what you just did? You know how much information there is on that hard drive? Rav Miller once said there's on an Apple seed, there's more information in an Apple seed than there was in the entire programming that was needed for the Twin Towers. The space of the computer on the hard drive for an Apple seed takes up more space than the plans for the Twin Towers. And we just throw them away. Like, that's the point. The point is that seed, until you take out the potential, there's nothing there. I mean, it's all there, but it's in potential. If you don't extract the potential, then it's just a little seed and you can throw it away. Nothing to do with it. Inside that seed is billions of fruits. But you can't, if you eat it, you'll die from hunger. You can't fill yourself up on the seed. The seed is, what are you talking about? There's hundreds of fruit in that seed. So I eat the fruit, I eat the seed, and then no. You have to mefaret it. Kainu mamish inyan hizrakshut miyatsogus klali matsumin. That's the marshal of enormous emotional arousal from happenings, big happenings. Somebody who grasps a deep moment of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, when they take the Sefer Torah out on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that Shema Yisrael, there's an enormous emotional arousal. If you're focusing a little bit on it, there's an enormous aliyah there, enormous emotional arousal. There's a dveikus, there's an enormous hislavus there. Now you need to take that and break it down so that you can translate it into something that's going to stick with you. By the time the Sefer Torah gets to the Bima, that ha that you just had from your Shema Yisrael is gone. Gone, it's finished, you know that. Now we have to take it and mefaret it. Go down and grind it up into its smallest details. That Yisrael, that arousal has to be translated down into our day-to-day existence. Every step you take, everything you... That's Malchus Shemai. Malchus Shemai means everything. Everything. We forgot it. We don't just live with a... Yeah, Hashem Lechein Hashem Echad, Kvaldik. Wow, that's amazing. Now what? Yeah, now I get upset with every little thing because it's not Hashem. You get angry with him and you get angry with him. But no, every step you're taking is a cult. That's part of the Malchus Shemai. You have to perhaps break it down to its smallest pieces. Then there's something you can digest there. There's something you can take Lamaisa away with you. Next time you take another little piece with you, another little piece with you. Eventually it starts becoming the mizmo starts becoming a shir. And then the shir feeds back into the mizmo. After the zimra, the arousal, the slivus, you need the shira. You need to break down what happened here. The other rabba, ikashira hibape. The ikashira is bape. You have to say it. Why don't I just think it? Why do I have to say shira? Just meditate on it. We have to lengthen and spend a lot of time on looking at the little details. You need the two working together. And that's not just in Saint Tehillim. It's in everything in our lives. We need to be able to take the events, the big klali events, and break them down. So often people come speak to me, they've got a problem. They put the problem on the table and it's just too big. It's too big. They dump like a load on your table. We have a problem, big problem, and just don't know where to even start. It's usually how they start the conversation by saying, I really don't know where to start. They're right, because it's just too big. So the work of a parent, a counselor, a lawyer, whatever it is to help the person break down the problem into little pieces. Because little pieces you can deal with. But if it's just one big blob, to deal with that. So too, yeah, this person has a positive event, let's say, and it's massive. You break it down. What Ted spoke once about this in terms of Holocaust survivors. The Holocaust was too big. People that were there that witnessed it, it was too big. They couldn't talk about it. There was no way to put what happened there into words. You took something that was infinite, that was inside you, and you had no way to mefarish it. And it stayed inside of them, and they never really got over it. The people that were able to get over it and carry on with their lives, there were people that were able to put it into words. They were able to bring it down, because the minute you put it into words, it becomes finite. Words are very finite. The event will always stay too big for words. But if you can break it down a little bit and mefarit it a little bit, then you can get on with your life. The ones that never spoke about it, it just stayed beyond any grasp directly, because it was too big for us to grasp. But if you break it down, you talk about it, you get people talking about it, it breaks it down into, brings it into the finite world where there's something you can do about it now. Now you can grasp it and you can relate to it and you can go through therapy and deal with it. That's why when you have a big event, something happens to you, don't talk about it too quickly because you'll lose it. The minute you start talking about it, it's now out in the finite world. You've lost that internal arousal. So that's the gentle interplay between these two dynamics. That inner arousal, which is humongous, and it's gravaldic, and you need it. But if you don't bring it down into Lamaisa, then it'll just stay in that world, and you'll be nothing to do with it. Eventually, it'll just fizzle out. I want to bring from the Agor here, because I'm not going to start the new. I'm not going to start a new parak here. We've got 10 minutes. Let's finish the Agor, and we'll end off the Zman with that. Let's just say we'll start a new Zman next Friday. We're going to go on, I assume, yeah? I don't see any reason not to. Let's see. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. So he says in the Agor at the bottom of Samach Zayin, he says, "Any roi loy medov is there." I'm not fitting to say what I'm about to say now. If any boy in a mamtia lifnei hachachomim, and I'm just coming to put something on the table of the Chachamim. I mean, as Daiti Lirosha Badoreinu, Do Yosem, I believe, I see, in my humble opinion, in our generation, orphan generation, Kimash Ein Lanu Shum Hasoga, the Kol Sugis Hanigun. We don't have any tweeter, anything, any grasp on the Sugi of Nigun. Music. We weren't expecting that, were you? The secrets of music the secrets of music, the depth that gets expressed through nigun, is one of the secrets of the Torah and the secrets of the nefesh. That people on our levels have no tefisa, we don't have anything, we don't have any touch on it at all. We don't touch the sugya bichlal. Something that draws the neshama enormously is nigun. When you hear nice music, people are drawn to it. No question. A lot of people waste a lot of time, spend a lot of time listening to music. Today, I don't know if that's called music. I'm saying a lot of what people are listening to today, a lot of them that has a deep music. Avalnira. The mortal, the bad of a diamond, Eloisa Adam, Shiachris, meet rates the Zav, Shiola Bison. You want gold? Come to my house. A walk coolum, Bahamoine, Oime. Everybody, if somebody announces in Shul, claps on the Bibi, says, anybody needs gold? Come to my house after davening. So who's not going to go? Everyone's going to go, Nahon. He says to them, Lomati Shani ten Zav, Hinam look called Irish. I never said I'm going to give gold to everybody who wants. I just said, whoever wants gold, come to my house. So obviously everybody wants gold. I said, I've got a lot of gold. Only somebody who's prepared to pay will get. And so I'm giving it away. I said, whoever wants gold, come to my house. Okay, so what's this marshal? That's an interesting marshal. You want to spend a week thinking about the nimshal, or we'll deal with it now. Anigun machris bo'ime. Man bo'ime kupnimias. The nigun, talking about proper nigun, I'm not talking about the noise they make out there today. I'm talking about proper nigun, declares Who wants Panemius? Who wants the depth and the inner world? Everybody comes to listen to the nigun. At the end, everybody just goes, I'm empty-handed. Why? Whose heart is so wide open and deep that it can hear what the nigun's saying today? The nigun's offering you an enormous, enormous depth, but we don't have it. We've seen somebody who gets a grasp of a Musa sefer Chassidus, whatever. He spends an hour, he works on it. You see, afterwards, he's able to understand Gemara better. He learns with new cheshek. We don't see today that after an evening of singing erev chasidus, you know, they have these evenings of music, yeah. And the bochrim, they have these evenings of music. I'm not discussing we should do it, we shouldn't do it. There's sipur achem. Maybe you have to do it so that don't go else play whatever. Today we have to, I don't know whatever. I'm nani lo nichnas lesugiyaze. I think Rosh Hashiva they're doing it. That okay, but said. But you never see anybody after an Erev Shira Chasidus, Shemitoicha Alafim, Shibilu Sham Sholt Rabot, and all the thousands, hundreds of Bochrim that spent hours there listening to this beautiful music, Shafilu Echad Yechavan Darka, Mia Oilim, the Beis Amidrash, Mikoich His Oirus, Shal Kedusha, Shikibul Bo Isa Mahmed. You don't see not even one. Get it back to the Beis Midrash with the. Now I can go sit and learn Gavaldik, that Mamash filled me up, Achshav Ani Olech Lilmod, and he learns with a new Cheshek and new Oirus. Or kishiyotzi taklit chadash im niguni margishim sheben teira achre chetzi sha shol shmias hanigun tzom lechonafshi or vitali beinu lav dechaber emes kotor mikach betfilas mincha hasmuche yit panel bishkatu tzacheshek. Is he going to daven mincha with a whole new connection, a whole new dveikus after he was singing tali beinu lav dechaber emes 100 times to his chassidut? I'm not coming to discuss here Shabbos and Yontif and other simchas where we sing and whatever. For sure, no one's talking about it. Nairusin last night, Kavaldik is singing. For sure, that we're not discussing that. That's not on the table here. They sit and listen to music. Again, no one's saying don't listen to music. Sometimes you come home, you're stressed, you need to sit down 20 minutes, half an hour, you listen to some proper music, whatever, for sure. No one's saying that. Not. He's talking about what he's talking about is hours and hours. You're driving, you've got a long drive, you've got an hour drive. Myself, I drive every day an hour. Instead of listening to a shir, to a drosha, he's listening to music more and more. I'm only coming to just draw attention, and he's not coming to say anything, but he's saying a lot. That was his way. There's a beetle Torah, betarosoi v'narosoi. There's a beetle Torah, betarav of awesomeness. A beetle zman pshuta k'mashmoi. Beetle zman pshuta k'mashmoi. I'm not talking to a woman either. There's no Beetle Torah there. We know Chazal described what Beetle Torah is. But getting caught up in music for us, I knew very Choshev Rosh Yeshiva was a matzmid otzu. But there was times he used to come home at night, he used to put on his headphones and listen to classical music. Not about the whole night. Sit and listen to one thing or whatever, an hour here, half an hour there, whatever. It's for sure supposed to use it. That's one of the resources in the world you're supposed to use. If the music does it for you, it calms you down, it gives you a bit of for sure. But an entire evening, sitting there in this hall somewhere, whatever, singing and listening or whatever, and his money for sure, you go, you have a little kumsitz or whatever. So, again, he's not. He's not coming to about just to be a slightly aware of the fact that Shira Vazimra, yes, Oimekanak. And if you want to use it and utilize it properly, you have to understand it and use it properly. It's not enough to just hear music. You have to be able to know each person. I don't know. I'm not, music's not my thing. I'm not that. I don't have a big yet the horror for music. I know it's a little. I do have a yet's horror for music. It's not music that I'm allowed to listen to anymore anyway. So it's you know, the music that I used to listen to, which is not exactly what we should be doing. What they call Jewish music today, Lobby Duke. You got a Hasidic Chassana where they're still playing the old music or whatever. Yeah, then I can get connected to. They're Gavaldic. The Mamash it touches the Neshama. And the way they dance is also, it's a deep meditation, that music and that dancing. But we're not talking about that. They have these Zamarim coming and whatever. You know, they have a Sima Shas, and half the Sima Shas is these Zamarim sitting there, you know, doing whatever. Again, I'm not saying yes or no, whatever, because at least you have to decide. I will. We have to just be a little bit aroused that there's an oimek in Mizmor and Shira that we have to be able to grasp, and it's not that. That's, I think, what he's saying. Anyway, a good night of Shabbos, k'machsim etoiva, a good yor. The moment be just with brocha and atzlocha, b'kolin yonim, refuz v'yeshuas l'kula.
Amen. Okay, thank
so
you.
So we'll shoot for 10 o'clock next week. If there's a change, I'll let you know. I don't know what's going to be. It's been as money, Marita. I don't know. It's Erev Sukkos. I don't know what's going to be, but we'll keep for 10. And if we need to change, I'll let you know. If you need to change, let me know. Eli, I'm sorry about this week with the Chayvus and Avavus. It's just the law.
I understood.
The law Allah. I didn't have time. I was feeling sick or whatever. Just the law Allah. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Maybe we'll try and make it up. Maybe we'll have something next week or Cholam Moed. We'll try and do something to make it up.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.